Let's go ahead before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we commit this time to learning and receiving, hearing your word as given to us from the word of God, the scriptures. And we know that your spirit is involved in teaching us, leading us into truth, even revealing things that are to come. May we have ears to hear what you have to say to us this morning, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 29 is really kind of the impetus for the series of messages that I'm going into. And I would say even more general than that, I believe that this is kind of the, I'll use that word again, the impetus for my life in ministry. I really connect with these scriptures. I feel so much with this. I mean, the Apostle Paul is speaking about himself in here, and I'm definitely not attempting to equate myself with the Apostle Paul and the ministry that the Lord gave him. But there are several things in here that I just really feel a connection to. And so Colossians 1, starting with verse 25, it says, God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. Then I'm going to skip down to verse 28. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. There's, as I said, so many things that I connect with, relate to here. Part of it is the first part of that where he says, I have a responsibility of serving the church. And, you know, obviously, as a with the calling of pastor on my life, that's what I feel. You know, the Lord has given me a responsibility to be a servant to his congregation, to his body, the church. And the part of that responsibility then is proclaiming the entire message to you, which I see as being the word of God. The message of Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel contained in the word of God. And he goes on to describe teaching with the wisdom that God has given. And for this purpose, this is why there's the teaching, to be able to present each one before God as being perfect. Now, this uses the word perfect, but you could also look in the margin of your Bible, and or maybe some translations use a different word, may use the word mature or complete. And so this is what the intent is for us to stand before the Lord having been completed by what comes from his word, the wisdom that comes from his word. There is a process here that is happening in our lives. And again, Paul goes on to say, he says, I work toward this with Christ's power that works within me. And I realized, you know, like Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I realized that about myself, that I am no special person other than that the Lord has given me a gift to be able to teach, and a gift to be able to rightly divide the word of God, to share with you the insight that the Lord gives me concerning the word of God. And the purpose of this is to continue to bring us to a place of completion. Now, in the last series of messages, I was sharing with you a lot about being complete in Christ. And that, you know, but the reality of the whole word of God, its whole purpose is for that. To bring us into, as the Bible describes, the predestined plan of God is for us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So there is this process that God has for us of becoming like Jesus. And it is a process. There are beginning things that happen, but then the process continues, and it will continue until we stand before the Lord. And I want to share, so I've entitled this series then, The Completion Project, because it is a part of the process of us standing before the Lord complete. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, we see that that this process began at a certain time. I'll try to get it so it sounds grammatically correct, but you all know what I mean anyway. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says this, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Okay, so here's a work that God began, and he's also going to finish it. God began the good work within you. It says he will continue his work until finished. So we are all in process. That finishing work doesn't happen until Jesus returns. A couple of other terms that are used that I'm going to toss out here from the New American Standard Bible, it says that God is perfecting it. God will perfect it until it is complete. God is perfecting it. Or NIV says carrying it on to completion. So there again, we see these words, God, his work being finished, continuing his work, it bringing coming to completion, it being perfected. You know, these are interchangeable words that we'll see in the scripture that talks about this process that God has of developing us into who he intends for us to be. And that's why I'm calling it a project, because it continues on. It's not complete until Christ returns. It is finished when Jesus returns. And so, there, as I said, there are parts of this that there is a beginning to this process, and that is that we are spirit born, and that is being spirit, receiving spiritual birth by the Spirit of God. And we're not going to look up these scriptures, but I just wanted to toss them out as references for you. John 3:3-6 is where Jesus speaks to Nicodemus about you must be born again. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, we're born physically by the flesh. But he says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Our spirit is born, given life by the Spirit of God. So that is the initiation process into this work that God began, as it's stated in Philippians 1:6. God began a good work. It began when we were born again by the Spirit of God. And then we are also Spirit-filled, and that is to be empowered by the Spirit of God. Some more scriptures are Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where Jesus said, you know, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. He says, when the Spirit comes upon you, or not many days from now, you will be baptized by the Spirit. You will receive power from on high. Acts chapter 2 and verses 38 and 39 is where Peter is declaring that this promise, this thing that you have witnessed, is a promise to you and to your children and to all, as many as God will call to himself, this promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, or being Spirit-filled or empowered by the Spirit of God. Again, both of these things are initiating things. Now, some people feel like, okay, I got born again when I was such and such an age, and then I got Spirit-filled when I was a little bit older and I was able to speak in tongues. Man, I arrived. I have become mature. No, that's just the initiation. That's just the beginning process, the beginning stages of this work of God's completion in our lives. So don't ever look at yourself and say, I've arrived, because until Jesus returns, you haven't. Okay, no matter how mature you got, God is going to continue to work in your life. And so it is a completion process or completion project. But then what I want to share with you, and this is where we're going with these series of messages, is about being spirit formed. Not only spirit born, not only spirit filled, but also spirit formed. And that is where we're going to talk about these things like maturity, discipleship. Sometimes that's kind of a foreign word, a word that, you know, discipleship, that sounds kind of rigid. That sounds like discipline. Yeah, there's part of that in that word disciple, discipline. And we'll talk about Christ-likeness. And really what we're talking about is the practical aspect of eternal life in contrast to the promised aspect of eternal life. The promised aspect of eternal life is when we die or when Christ returns, we're going to live with the Father for eternity. Yeah, I'd squeal about that too, because that's something to squeal about. Hallelujah. Just, yeah. But anyway, but between the now and the then is this process of the practical aspect of eternal life. See, eternal life doesn't start when you die, or eternal life doesn't start when Jesus returns. Eternal life starts the minute you are born again. And so there is this part of eternal life that we are living out now. And the Lord intends for us to live it to its fullest. Live it to its completion, as much complete as we can be, as much like the image of Jesus Christ as we can be in this process or in this completion project. So this is the practical aspect that we're talking about being spirit-formed. Remember that it is a work of the Spirit. It is not just a work of our own discipline, although we'll talk about disciplines. It's not just our own strong will by which we can be changed. It is the Spirit of God involved in this process. There is this tension, and I believe this passage of Scripture from Philippians 2:12-13. You can turn there if you like to, but I'm going to put up on the screen the Amplified translation of this part of verse 12 and then all of verse 13. But there is this little bit of a tension between our work and God's work in this process. And we need to understand that it is both. There is both involved. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 from the Amplified, again, part of 12, says, cultivate or carry out the goal and fully complete your own salvation. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. See the tension there? The word speaks to us about this cultivation. Cultivating, carrying out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation. Now, we cannot save ourselves, so don't misunderstand this completion of your salvation. It's like God saved you, and then you become involved in this, in God's project to complete you, to bring out the fullness of that salvation by which you were saved. I hope that's coming out clear. We'll see some more scriptures along this line too about the salvation that we receive. But here it clearly says it's not in your own strength. Okay, so we are not going to finish this just because we have a strong will or a strong desire to be Christ-like. But it says it's God who's effectually at work in you. He's energizing. You know, I love this when it speaks about God energizing you. He's giving you the energy. He's giving you, he's stirring in you the motivation for this process to be completed. He's creating in you the power and the desire, not only to do the work, but to will to do it. So it's not like you just, oh, suffer through life, and this is my duty, and this is what I have to do, you know, okay, I'll put up with it, and, you know, hopefully Jesus comes soon so I can get on to the good stuff, you know. But instead it says he even puts within us the will to do these things, the desire, the motivation to want to be like Jesus, to serve like Jesus, all these things, and to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So I want to come back to that word cultivate again, cultivation, and from this Philippians 2, 12, verse 12, where it said cultivate and carry out the goal, and cultivate, carry out to the goal, and I'm having trouble reading. Cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation. I want to speak to that word cultivation and just give a little bit of a definition there. This means to promote or to improve the growth, like in a plant or a crop, by labor, and to develop or improve by education or training, to train or to refine. Okay, so those are some of the descriptive definitions of the word cultivate. So there's a process involved where we are a part of that. Okay, we are a part of this cultivation process with our own labor and with the development or the training, refining that will take place. We have a part of it, and that's where we do talk about disciplines. Disciplines whereby we root out the weeds, okay? That's, you know, you get that picture when you talk about cultivating. You cultivate the crops so that the weeds are rooted out, and you fertilize the fruit-bearing plants. You want the fruit to come forth as much as it can. So you get rid of the weeds, and you cultivate, and you fertilize the fruit-bearing plants. So just a little bit of a descriptive of that cultivation that takes place. Well, here's some of the direction that we're going to go with these messages. Lord willing, and I believe this is not a conclusive list here, but here's some of the things that I want to share with you. I want to talk about, first of all, and we'll do this today, establishing God's Word as final authority in your life. Okay, that is one of the main things for you becoming complete in Christ Jesus, is to acknowledge that there has been given you something whereby you can line yourself up with and make this final authority in your life. That if you get started on that, you will be way ahead to have that knowledge and that understanding. We'll also talk about walking with God, having ears to hear and a heart of obedience. Okay, we need to be able to hear the Lord speaking to us and to be able to respond in obedience. And we'll talk about walking in integrity. What does that mean? You know, there is so little integrity left in this world, you know, and we need to reinforce that for the purposes of the Lord and walking in a spirit of submission. And you know, what does that mean, especially again in the day that we live in? And walking in dependent faith, as well as other things. Like I said, I know that there'll be other things that will come up as we go along the way. So, you know, it's not going to take the whole of this summer, I don't think. But what I want to do is I want to encourage you in this direction for this summer. A lot of times summer, you know, we kind of relax a little bit. Seems like, you know, particularly families with kids, the kids are out of school. Our family gets quite a bit less structured. There's maybe not as many, you know, weekly or monthly things, activities going on in the summertime, because people acknowledge, you know, this is the season, especially in Minnesota, this is the season for us to recreate. Okay, so we take advantage of that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But if we just kind of relax all of our, you know, intentional purposes of this completion project of the Lord, well, we can start sliding backwards instead of advancing. And so we'll spend some time with this summer, and I just really want to encourage you, when you are not out recreating, to purpose to be here, to get these messages about how we're going to establish the disciplines and the dynamics in our life to fulfill that which God has called us to, and that is being complete in Christ Jesus. Get it online, yeah. If you don't, we upload the sermons to our website, and so you can, you know, you can connect that way and get the messages that way as well. But not an excuse to not be here if you can be here, okay? So anyway, let's go then to the direction of God's Word and establishing God's Word as final authority in your life. And I want to say that this is something that I hope to, you know, as Mr. Granza shared about, you know, a church where the kids have been raised, where they have the understanding, they have the knowledge, and that doesn't come from a good preacher. That comes from the Word of God. And maybe the good preacher is just because he uses the Word of God. That's the whole difference. And, you know, I am so thankful that the church that I grew up in, that's one of the things that was established in me is this is God's Word. So if there's any question about, you know, a decision or insight or wisdom or whatever, this is where we go. And if there's a difference between what this says and the tradition by which we have been living, or the tradition that has been passed down to us generation after generation or whatever, you don't go with the tradition, you go with what the Word says. In fact, Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, your tradition makes God's Word of no effect. In other words, you're stealing away the Word of God because you're establishing these traditions in people. And I know there's one particular denomination that they have four things that are kind of all equal. God's Word is one of them. But another is tradition, and I forget what the other two things are. I could experience is one of them, and but anyway, you know, if we line up with our experience, you know, there's a lot of times where our experience comes out different than the Word of God, doesn't it? I mean, you prayed to be healed and you weren't healed. So, okay, healing must not be for today, because my experience was I didn't get healed when I asked for it. Or, you know, something of that nature, something of that order. We start, you know, teaching things that are particular things that we have learned, but it's not the Word of God. And we want to always come back to the Word of God as being final authority. Now, that means we chew out some of the things where there's tensions in the Word of God. There's you know, that is to be acknowledged, the reality that sometimes we line up in different perspectives with the Word of God because of these tensions that are there. But we still go back to what does the Word of God say? At least that's the... that's the stand that I'm declaring as a part of this church, that that we need to understand God's Word as being final authority in our life. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus said, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone." This is when he's being tempted in the wilderness, and Satan tempts him to turn the stones into bread. Jesus responds to him this way. He says, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And he was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. And this is when the children of Israel had been out in the wilderness, and Moses is declaring that to them, God fed you with manna to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. See, we need to understand that there is physical life and we receive sustenance or bread for our physical being, but that is not all there is to life. There is our spiritual being that was born again by the Spirit of God. And that spiritual being needs to be nurtured, not by physical bread, but by the Word of God, spiritual bread for our spiritual being. Here's where it speaks again about our salvation when it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So again, when it's talking about growing in respect to salvation, it's not like you are partly saved and you get a little more saved and a little more saved and a little more saved to where you finally are saved enough to get to heaven. It's not like that. You are saved enough to get to heaven when you are born again by the Spirit of God, and that is you accepting the gift of God's grace, and by faith you receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. If you do that with sincerity in your heart, you are going to heaven. You are saved. But again, that's the beginning of that process of completion that God desires to do in your life. And he's saying it's the Word of God that is like milk for you when you are newborn. You need milk. Every baby needs milk. And so when you are newborn, you receive that milk that helps you to grow into that thing that you started out with as a baby. And so it is with us spiritually, that we grow into our salvation, or with respect to salvation, we grow into the abundant life that God has for us. And it's the Word of God that's like milk for us. Also in Hebrews, it speaks about the meat, you know, going for the meat of God's Word. We won't go there today, but we understand that there is spiritual food for our spiritual beings to grow into this completion process that God has. And the Word of God is part of that, is that spiritual food for us. Okay, so I want to take a variety of things, and I'm just going to go through this quickly because I want to, at the end, get more into this cultivation that comes to us through a parable that Jesus shared. But I want to look at several aspects of what the Word of God does for us in this project of completion. We need to accept and establish God's Word as final authority in our life. And here are some of the reasons why. God's Word for knowing the voice of the Lord. Now in John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, these are Jesus' words when he's speaking about the Good Shepherd. He says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Okay, so when I'm talking about, you know, people who are going to be followers of Jesus, which is another term for disciples, followers of Jesus are people who are going to know what he speaks like, or know what his voice sounds like. They'll know what it sounds like, know what it doesn't sound like, and know how he speaks. I believe we become accustomed to hearing the voice of God or hearing the voice of Jesus because we know what it sounds like as a result of having read his word. In other words, if something comes along that's contrary to the word of God, you go, you know what? That's not the voice of the shepherd. It doesn't sound like the voice of the shepherd. I'm going to run away from that. That's, people, how you stay out of cults. That's how you stay out of deception. That's how you stay out of errors, because you hear something and you go, you know what? That doesn't line up with the words that I hear my shepherd speaking. It doesn't sound like the voice of my shepherd. I believe that's how you can find a church where you can put confidence in the shepherd of that church, is, does his voice, or what he's speaking, does that sound like the words of Jesus? Is he speaking from the Word of God, or is he using tradition or using experience or whatever? You know, does it sound like the voice of Jesus? So I believe we become accustomed to the voice of the shepherd and can establish a trust in the things that we hear because we know what it sounds like from the Word of God. So God's Word for knowing the voice of the Lord. Also, God's Word for knowing the path. And this comes from Psalms 119, verse 105, a familiar scripture that says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. The word of God gives us direction. It's like a light. It helps us to know when we're making decisions about our life, or making decisions even about the activity of our day. God's word helps us to know the right way to go with that. And also Psalms 119, verse 9 through 11 speaks of God's word for keeping us pure, when it says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, I'm going to really encourage you, you know, as I shared about, you know, taking this summertime to really establish yourself in some of these things, some of these disciplines we'll be talking about. In the newsletter that was distributed last week, I spoke about ignorance being bliss, and no, that's not true, particularly ignorance concerning the Word of God. I would encourage you to, as part of your summer discipline, is to read through Psalms 119. It's the longest chapter in the longest book of the Bible. Read through Psalms 119, and I would say just read a few verses, you know, maybe some each day, excuse me, and when you get done with it, go back and repeat it again. You'll see there are so many things declared about the Word of God, the decrees of God, the commands of God that bring life and bring freedom and bring restoration. You'll see the value that is placed on God's Word for these things, as we just shared about here, to know the path of the Lord, to know how to keep our way pure, to keep from sinning against God. The Word of God becomes like a spotlight outwardly to give us direction, but it also becomes like a searchlight inwardly to know where we are violating God's desire in any way. And that's all part of the process of being transformed again to be more and more like Jesus, is to know the path to choose, but also to search inwardly and know where things need to be changed or things need to be adjusted. Okay, also God's word for wisdom. This is from Psalms 19, verse 7. That says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. I mean, just that, that term, reviving the soul. How many of you need reviving in your soul? You know, now and then. You know, sometimes maybe you're all, you know, wild for the Lord and on fire. And you know, but there's times where you just get worn down and need to be revived. You know, David prayed in one of his Psalms. He says, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There's joy in salvation, but sometimes that joy wanes and it needs to be restored. The Word of God will help revive you, as it says here. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Okay, so even if you're simple, and I need to describe the word simple here, it's not someone who's ignorant. It's not someone who, you know, is stupid. You know, the simple is talking about someone who is inexperienced. Okay, so even if there are particular areas that we do not have experience in, and see, all life long we are going to be walking into new things that we've not experienced before. And so we go, well, how do I deal with this? I don't know. I haven't had to deal with it before, but how do I deal with this? The Word of God gives us insight and instruction to deal with those things in a way that is appropriate, in a way that is going to be pleasurable to God again. When we are inexperienced, the Word of God gives us wisdom. You know, I want to share here an experience that I had, that we had when I was on the farm. I know I've done this before, but it's been quite a while. And that is when we first got dairy cattle, we had some real challenges in getting things established. A hay crop, for one, we had a very, very wet spring. It just rained for like 2 weeks straight. Just after I had planted alfalfa, and so that, you know, alfalfa had pretty much gotten washed out, drowned out, that kind of thing. It just didn't grow very well. But another dynamic that happened is that my barnyard was in a low spot. The pasture went up this way and kind of drained towards the yard of the barn just before the cows would come in. And the cows had to go in and out every day, and, you know, you have to turn them loose, but they would just wallow in the mud. And the other dynamic of that was that's where my barn cleaner was, where you had to, you know, get the stuff out from the gutters. I'll not get too graphic here, but that was a daily thing that we had to do, is try to get in this muck, try to get the manure spreader underneath the barn cleaner to be able to clean it out, and you couldn't just let it go. Okay, the gutters get full, and you know. So anyway, it had to be done on a daily basis. Well, I could not back up. Every time I did, the spreader would go kittywampus because of the muck that was there, and I couldn't get it under the barn cleaner. So I go, okay, I'm going to drive out and around and try to drive under it then. Well, I got out there and around, and I got partway through, and I sunk. But I would just be able to inch just a little bit ahead, and I thought, okay, I'll back up and I'll inch a little bit more, and I'll inch a little bit more, and pretty soon I'll be out. But every time I tried to inch ahead, I also inched down until the tractor was sitting on its axles and I wasn't moving anywhere. I tried to unhook the manure spreader and just get the tractor out, and went back and forth a little bit, and I was so stuck. I was so frustrated. And see, this is one of the things, and I'll be honest with you, you know, people, they'll sometimes ask me, where did you go to seminary? You know, and I'll say, you know, I was 7 years on the farm. That was my seminary. I was learning a whole lot of things. Most of it was character development, not a whole lot of theology, some of that, but most of it was character development. And things would not go right. And I'd get so mad, so frustrated. And sometimes Melanie thought I was taking it out on her, and I was just screaming out her name. I'm Melanie! Just out of frustration. What did I do? You know, she was afraid. But this day, I walked away from the tractor. I was just so frustrated, and I just said, I can't do anything now. I'm going in the house. I'm going to eat breakfast. This was after we'd milked cows, and Melanie was in there. She was fixing breakfast. And this time I decided I was going to do something a little bit different than I typically did. I thought, you know, you're supposed to get encouragement from the Psalms. I'm going to go in the house, and instead of ragging on my wife or getting all frustrated, that kind of thing, I'm going to open up to the first psalm that I come to, and I'm going to see if the Lord has anything for me in that. So I flip open my Bible to the Psalms, and it lands on Psalm 69, and I start reading, and it says, "Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I am deep in water, and the floods overwhelm me." And I just started laughing. You know, well, Melanie's out in the kitchen, and I'm sure she's thinking, okay, he snapped. He went over the edge. He went nuts. He's laughing. He's in the living room there laughing. And I continued to read down farther, and it says, "Rescue me from the mud. Don't let me sink any deeper. Save me from those who hate me, and pull me from these deep waters. Don't let the floods overwhelm me, or the deep waters swallow me, or the pit of death devour me. Answer my prayers, O Lord, for your unfailing love is wonderful. Take care of me, for your mercy is plentiful. Don't hide from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in deep trouble." And you know, the point of this was, is, you know, I started laughing, thinking, okay, God, you have a sense of humor, because here I purpose to do something different, purpose to do something a little bit more with insight and wisdom toward a God direction rather than my typical response, anger, frustration, that kind of thing. And it's like the Lord answered me, saying, you know what, I have something for every kind of situation that you would deal with in your life, even if it's you're stuck in the mud with your tractor. You know, and here is something that, again, obviously, you know, if you make the application, the true application here, David was dealing with enemies here, and so that's where he was sinking. It wasn't true mud that he was in. But this application was the Lord's answer for me. And what David did was, he, instead of crying out in anger and frustration, he raised his prayer up to the Lord. He said, "Lord, you help me. Help me deal with this situation that I'm in." And I just felt, okay, here's where you go when you need help. You pray and you call Dad, okay? So I called Dad. He came over with his big tractor. He came over with, I can't remember if it was a long cable or chain upon chain upon chain to get all the way out there to the middle of that barnyard. And we got the tractor pulled out and got the manure spreader pulled out, and the frustration was over. But again, the point of that was, for here's something that I hadn't experienced before, but I had experienced many frustrations, and usually it would turn into just a anger and, you know, just an inappropriate response. But this was one where the Lord said, showed me that, you know, there is a different way to, for you to respond in these things that you're going to experience in your life. Okay, let me go on from the, from there. I had to carry her out of the barnyard one time. She wore these clogs, you know. You remember clogs? There wouldn't, you know, nothing on to hold it on, and she got stuck in the mud. Okay. See, the problem then with this is she remembers all the details. But anyway, I did pick her up and carried her out because she lost. Well, it was years later when I was cleaning out in the her clog surfaced again, came up, and I think we just threw it away, But anyway, okay, so God's Word, remember what we're talking about. We're not just talking about muddy barnyards and sunk tractors here. We're talking about what God's Word will do for us in this project of completion. Here's where God's Word speaks about for us to succeed. Joshua 1, verse 8. It says, study this book of instruction continually. Notice that word. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. You know, what a tremendous promise again, you know, for us to succeed and for us to prosper. But it's a result of meditating on God's Word. New American Standard uses this. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. There's this aspect of meditation that is speaking it, declaring it. Okay? So it should be in our mind, it should be in our heart, it should be on our lips, the Word of God. And as we continue to apply that and meditate on it continually, day and night, as it says here, being sure to obey, there's the conditional if-then kind of thing going on. But it says, then you will prosper and succeed in all that you do. Is there one person in here who does not want to prosper, who does not want to succeed in all that we do, all that you do? I mean, if your whole desire is to fail, raise your hand and we're going to come pray for you. Something's wrong. You know, God's put it in us to desire to succeed, to desire to prosper. And he's given us a way to do it. And a significant part of that way is the Word of God, us reflecting, meditating on it day and night, and then being obedient to it. Okay, then also God's Word for faith, for establishing faith. Romans 10:17 says faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ or hearing the Word of God. And regarding faith, we'll see in these scriptures, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God without faith. And Ephesians 6:16, we find out that faith is the shield, part of the armor of God, we shared about that last week, with which we extinguish the flaming missiles of the evil one. And also in 1 John 5, verse 4, it says, faith is the victory that defeats this evil world. So how significant faith is and how faith comes to us is by the Word of God. We become established in our trust in God because we see what he says in his Word. And again, we can sing these words that we did in our praise and worship time, that you are the God of miracles, because we see those miracles transpiring in the Word of God, and it gives us faith or trust to believe that they will also transpire in our own lives. And that faith is so important for us in responding in an appropriate way to God. Okay, so I want to conclude with this parable from Mark chapter 4 concerning a heart condition for receiving the Word of God. Mark chapter 4, and yeah, I'll go ahead and there is the parable and then there is the explanation, but I don't want you to miss parts of it, as I was thinking of just skipping over the parable and going to the explanation, but I don't want to do that. I'm going to start with verse 3. Mark 4, verse 3. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across the field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns and grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. There, just that phrase there, Jesus says this so many times, you know, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, let him understand. That's so significant concerning the word of God, having ears to hear. We'll talk about that more another time. But then he goes on, I'm going to skip on to verse 13, where it speaks the meaning of this parable. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. Okay, so the seed is God's word. And that's what we're emphasizing here today. The seed is the word of God. And it says the farmer, verse 15, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. Okay, so the planting of the seed is people hearing or people receiving the message. There's two aspects to this parable. I want you to understand this. There is you being one who sows seed to others and acknowledging there's going to be different hearts, different conditions of people's hearts as to whether they will receive that seed or not. But this is also a parable for us as to whether we will receive God's word or not concerning the condition of our own heart. Okay, so we can sow seed to others and we can sow seed, the seed of God's word, to ourselves. And how that comes out will be determined by the condition of the soil or the condition of the heart. Verse 16, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things, so that no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. So here's the soil types, which are the conditions of the heart. One of them is described as footpath kind of soil, that being hard. It's along the way where people walk, so it's been hardened. And the seed does not take root in that. In fact, it describes it as birds, but it says Satan comes immediately to take out that word. So when we talked about the reality that we are in spiritual warfare when we were in Ephesians chapter 6, talked about putting on the armor of God so that we could stand in the evil day, even concerning receiving the word of God, you're in spiritual battle. And if you are hard-hearted, Satan's going to come and he's going to take that word so it doesn't bear any fruit in your life. So it's dependent upon the condition of our heart. And that's why sometimes when you share the good message of God's word to other people, they don't receive it, because their heart has been hardened. And you wish, oh, I shared the word. Why didn't it make any difference? Because Satan comes, stole that word. There's also the shallow soil type, and that is where it's rocky underneath. And it says it's shallow, and so the word, it dries up. Some kind of trouble comes along, or someone starts to persecute that individual for the word's sake, and the word is it dries up, doesn't bear any fruit. There's also the thorny soil, which describes the thorns as being worries of this world, the lust for other things, the deception of earthly wealth, and we get caught up in those things, and the word of God is robbed from us. It's taken away from us, or it is choked out in our life. It doesn't bear its fruit. But then there is the fertile soil, or the good soil, and that is where the word produces fruit. The seed is planted in that soil. That soil is able to be cultivated. Weeds are not there. The weeds are gone. It's not rocky, it's not hard, and that's the good soil, the condition of a person's heart that's able to receive the word of God. And so, you know, whether we are able to take this word and it change us, or for us to experience the prosperity and the success that God's word describes for us is really dependent upon the condition of our heart. So maybe that's where we need to start first when we're talking about embracing the word of God. Are you, first of all, willing to accept this as final authority in your life? Remember last week I shared, we have the ability, we have the God-given power to choose. We have a free will. And you can say, yes, Lord, or you can say, no. Or let me think about it. Or, you know, I want to do my own thing first. Or, you know, I think I'm going to go by the tradition that's been taught to me. You know, or something like that, where we bypass the way of God, the wisdom of God, because our heart is hardened. Or for any of these other things, maybe we're concerned about our life and our life circumstances, and we're so consumed with those things that God's word is not having its effect in our life. So I want you to take these words, and I want you to, again, realize how much difference God's word will make in your life if you make its application and if your heart is in a condition that you can receive the word and it can bear its fruit. Remember Isaiah 55, where it says, the word of God says, I pour forth my word, it will go forth, and it will accomplish that for which I sent it. It will not return to me without accomplishing it. See, God intends for his word to have its effect, to bear its fruit in our life. We have a part in receiving that. We have a part in the cultivating process to get the weeds out and to fertilize that seed of God's word for it to bear its fruit in our life. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we can take these words, that these words that have been spoken from your word today would be seed planted in the soil of our heart. And I pray, Father, that we can cultivate open hearts, good soil to receive that seed and for it to bear its fruit. We desire, Father, to be able to be changed as you intend in this completion process. We thank you, Lord, that you who began this good work in us through salvation, through us being born again and filled with the Spirit, will bring it about to completion by that spiritual formation. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.